Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Praline Marks, good afternoon to you. All good with you today, I hope?
Good afternoon. Everything good today, a better day than yesterday, but we do have some updates on yesterday's heartbreaking story of the death of Staff Sergeant Barel Shmuley at the age of just 21, who passed away 9 days after he was shot at close range during a riot on the border with the Gaza Strip. Last night, thousands of Israelis gathered at Kiryat Shaul Cemetery to say farewell and to lay him to rest. Very, very heartbreaking moment, as you and I were saying yesterday, that in Israel and certainly for Jews around the world, the loss of one of our finest, one of our fallen, affects each of us personally. It is as if they are our own children. But last night during eulogies for Barel, his mother Nitza spoke. She leveled some very harsh criticism at the Israeli authorities, including Prime Minister Bennett, including the IDF and the border police. And the family have now demanded an inquest into the circumstances surrounding his death. Why were the troops not adequately prepared for this rush towards the border? Why was there a hole in the wall which made it possible for his killer to run up to the wall, pull a gun from the waistband of his pants and shoot Barel at close range in the head? And despite his valiant fight for 9 days, he succumbed to his wounds.
Awful, awful story, Rolene. We will follow that with great interest. Something else of historical importance, the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan concludes. I don't know about you, but that picture that I've seen, that iconic picture of the last U.S. troop leaving Afghanistan, I think it's going to be one of those pictures that we say, you know, that was a historic moment.
Well, absolutely. I think a very, very sobering moment for all of us around the world who are very concerned with what happens now for Afghanistan and for Western countries. Last night I was very privileged to listen in on a Zoom with a woman who does a lot of work with the victims of the Yazidi genocide, with what happened there at the hands of Daesh or ISIS. And I'm looking at Afghanistan with great, great worry and concern, not just under the Taliban now, who have declared a victory. They were firing shots into the air. They symbolically walked on the tarmac and have declared full independence. But what does this mean now? Does this mean that there are areas of Afghanistan which are vulnerable to terror entities recalibrating, gathering, being able to recruit now, being able to plan attacks on Western targets? It is without a doubt that many Western armies are going to be warning their governments. Many analysts will be warning their governments about the vulnerabilities that they face now with this happening. A lot of people are asking me, who is ISIS-K? So ISIS-K, which is kind of a branch of ISIS, you know, the original Daesh was also referred to as ISIL, Islamic State in the Levant being Iraq, Syria, the area I am in, the Middle East. ISIS-K or ISK refers to the Khorasani branch of ISIS that get their name from the Khorasan province in Pakistan, just as vicious, just as barbaric as the ISIS we know from the Levant. We've already seen the ramifications of that: suicide bombings carried out against targets. We weren't expecting them to happen as quickly as they did, but they've happened. Not to mention the situation for young women and girls in Afghanistan. It's an absolutely harrowing moment, a very, very sad day for the people of Afghanistan, and a very worrying moment for the rest of the world.
I started the show an hour and a bit ago by saying it's just so incredibly perverse that there is a group that makes the Taliban look like moderates. I mean, how perverse does the scale have to be that they appear to be a group with whom you can do business?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if we go back a couple of years to when we were seeing ISIS or ISIL very, very active with terror attacks and just with this medieval type of barbarity, the likes we have never seen, certainly not in our lifetime. Even groups like Al-Qaeda didn't want to be associated with them, that, you know, their levels of depravity were even lower than Al-Qaeda's levels of depravity. And now we are seeing this resurface in Afghanistan. And I worry for the innocent Afghan people.
Kind of disappointing to read yesterday that Abbas was taking a lot of flack from very many Palestinian factions, including his own, for having met with Benny Gantz.
Well, there's not just people taking flack or Abbas taking flack from his constituents. We've had some members of the more far-right parties in Israel as well also criticizing Benny Gantz for his daring to meet with Mahmoud Abbas. But you know what? At the end of the day, we have to think of the stability of this region. We have to think of what the alternative is if we don't have a strong Palestinian Authority. And we got a glimpse of that alternative earlier this year in May when we had Operation Guardians of the Wall and everything that led up to those 11 days of fighting with Hamas. So Israel, from our perspective, is going to want to ensure stability militarily and from a security perspective, which is one of the reasons that Defense Minister Gantz met with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. Abbas, I think, from his own perspective, is going to want to strengthen his position. He doesn't want to be overthrown by Hamas. We've also seen in the last couple of weeks the increased calls for him to step down. This is following the very, very suspicious death in custody of outspoken critic of the Palestinian Authority and activist Nizar Bahat, who died while being taken into police custody, something that I think for many South Africans harkens back to a moment in South African history that was just deplorable, the death of anti-apartheid activists in custody. So, you know, we're all too familiar with what this feels like for many, many people. And of course, the rounding up now of anti-Palestinian Authority activists taken into custody. But we've also got to look strategically at what the alternative is. And that is Hamas. And that is certainly not an entity that Israel or any moderate Palestinian wants to see strengthened in the region anytime soon.
Some good news. Bahraini ambassador apparently arriving in Israel today. That really is good news, really.
It's fantastic news. So ladies.
Another one.
Because I remember what happened when I tweeted out or sent out a picture of him. I had some very excited ladies. Get those welcoming casseroles ready. He has just arrived in Tel Aviv, literally within the last hour or so. The first Bahraini ambassador to the State of Israel, Ambassador Khaled Al-Jalakhma. He has arrived to start serving as our Bahraini ambassador here, tweeting out in Hebrew, Arabic and English today that, you know, he's excited to be coming. He's thrilled to be appointed by His Majesty the King, that King bin al-Khalifa, and that, you know, in the spirit of peace and coexistence, especially in the region, he looks forward to fulfilling this mission. And we are thrilled to welcome him. So if you want to follow his Twitter account, it's Bahrain AMBISR. So it's Bahrain, AMB for ambassador, ISR for Israel. Go and follow him. Ladies, no flirting, please. This is all very, very serious. But we hope to see a repetition between Bahrain and the State of Israel, as we have been seeing with Israel and the Emirates. I mean, can you believe that we've already marked the one-year anniversary of the Abraham Accords, and what a year it has been. It has seen an extremely extraordinary amount of goodwill between Bahraini, Emirati, and Israeli people, because that's where peace is truly built. The incredible signings of memorandums of understandings between the countries, especially the UAE and Israel. And now that we have the Bahraini ambassador here, we look forward to that. And we even survived a very testy period in May when we went to conflagration with our neighbors in the Gaza Strip. These accords stand strong. They've got legs of their own. And may they start to run and do great things.
Long may that continue. Rolene Marks, thank you for taking me to 5:30 on the dot. We'll chat tomorrow.
Absolutely.